Well, usually with respect to identity theft, if your computer is vulnerable and a bad guy breaks in, of course you might have certain data on there that might help them. But usually the people you have to be concerned about are looking for many pieces of information on many different people. So they're going to target databases. Like, for example, in the recent news, I don't know if you heard about this, Art, ChoicePoint, which is a company that sells non-public personal identifying information, was essentially hacked. LexisNexis apparently had some problems too. And this is where the bad guys get hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of Social Security numbers matched with names, with addresses, dates of birth, and so on. And this is where the serious problem exists. And because in America our system is broken to essentially become somebody else, all you need to know is certain key pieces of information. To get a birth certificate, to get a certified copy of a birth certificate, all the requester has to know is the person's full name, date of birth, place of birth, mother's name, father's name. Then the bad guy gets a copy of the birth certificate, and they could essentially become you. I mean, it's a real simple process, and that's because of how the system with identity works here in America.
No, you're absolutely right, and I've seen all the ads on TV. How widespread is it? How likely is anybody out there to get their ID stolen and then their money span or whatever else?
Well, it's highly likely, but these people are, since they're targeting so many people, not just 1, 2, 3, 10,
right.
What they're doing is they're basically doing it based on information, you know, and if they have certain pieces of information about you, they can simply go online and apply for credit. Get an extension of credit in your name. There's even been cases where people open up a mortgage in your name, and all they need to know is certain key pieces of information about you. Like, for example, I can give you a website now.
No, don't. Listen.
Yeah.
You're already scared the hell out of me. Every day I get no less than about 20 messages that say, you've been approved for a $60,000 mortgage.
Yeah.
Or something just like that.
Yeah, I get those all the time, too.
But that's not what you're talking about, is it?
No, not the spam. We're talking about, you know, information. And, I mean, why I give this information out, like what I was going to give you, I won't give the site unless you want me to, but there are certain sites out there that have birth records, like for Kentucky, Texas, and California. And on every birth record is obviously the mother's maiden name. So anyone with the internet for free can go look up anybody's mother's maiden name, like in California.
All right, if you say you get that, and obviously you can get that, with that, what can you do?
Well, I wonder how many of your listeners use their mother's maiden name to protect their bank account. Every time I call my credit card company or my financial institution, the first thing they ask me for is, what's your mother's maiden name?
Absolutely correct.
And why this needs to be out there in the public, why people need to know about these websites, is so they'll be encouraged to contact their financial institution immediately and change the mother's maiden name or set a password, because people are relying on protecting very sensitive information, like access to their bank account, based on information that's readily available on the internet.
God, that's frightening. Well, that's frightening. I'm
and,
sorry,
of course, we all know about the caller ID spoofing, right?
Well, we all know about that, yes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, jeez. But to actually get to somebody's money, it seems like it just wouldn't be that easy. It couldn't be that easy, just your mother's maiden name. There'd have to be a
Social Security number, which also there's sites out there primarily for private investigators and underwriters that pretty much anybody can get an account at by filling out the appropriate paperwork, and then you can basically pull the person's Social Security number and date of birth, and you have the mother's maiden name. And it's quite simple for identity thieves to get extensions of credit in your name. Somebody stole my identity and opened up a cellular phone account in Denver and ran up, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of long-distance calls, and then I got the bill for it. It took me a little, you know, I had to prove it wasn't me, which was very time-consuming. But at the end of the day, I didn't have to pay the bill because it simply wasn't me.
God. But it cost you a lot of money to prove it wasn't you.
Well, time, and as we know, time equates to money. And what the biggest headache is, And I'm sure there's people in your audience that have also been victimized by this, is having your credit profile changed negatively. And then going back to these bureaus, I'm talking about TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and getting them to correct it. It's really time-consuming process, and the burden of proof shifts on you.
Yes.
And I really believe that when your identity is stolen, that to make it easier for the victim, that the burden of proof shouldn't shift to the victim, but should shift to the bureau.
Normally, however, in most cases I've heard of, the bank or with the institution does realize that it's a ripoff and restitution is made. And I always wondered, who actually pays for that? When that money,
the banks do, the issuers, the card issuers. But at the end of the day, we're all paying for it. Because
sure,
that's why
sure.
They're charging us higher interest rates, right? So, I mean, so everybody is paying for the thievery that's going on, but actually the first, you know, the first line, the first line of the attack is going to be the issuer,
okay.
in the instance of credit cards.
How severe is it? I wonder how much money they're having to pony up every year to pay off, you know, the frauds, the things.
Well, you know what's interesting? I was just at an event in New York. I spoke at an event and the heads of a lot of the major credit card companies were there.
Right.
And what they do is they base their they measure their losses. They call them basis points, and I don't know the exact calculation for it at this point because it really wasn't explained to me. But the bottom line is they basically measure their loss, and then they measure, well, how much money would it take us to offset the loss, or how much money is it going to take us to prevent this from happening? And so far, the attitude is one remedy is to use a stronger form of authentication. Authentication is when you have to prove that you are who you say you are.
Right.
Usually online, you do that through a password. But the problem is with all these phishing scams going on the internet.
Uh-huh.
How do you, you know, and people are giving up their password through phishing scams by people that are victims of social engineering attacks. So these static passwords are really dangerous because you never know when somebody else has your password. So stronger forms of authentication are like smart cards, maybe a device you carry on your keychain that the code changes every 60 seconds, maybe a biometric like your thumbprint or an eye retina scan. Well, the problem is for banks, credit card companies and banks to deploy these technologies, it will actually cost them more money to deploy that technology than what the losses they were suffering. So what they do is they just choose to accept the loss.